hindered. Two crosses banged together around his neck, and I mean that literally. I know that, Pathfinders, you don't know who this is, but I'll introduce his name anyway. His name is Ja Rule. He is a famous rapper from New York City. He was being interviewed about why he wore those two crosses around his neck. And this is what he had to say. He says, "I call it double cross. I believe in God, but not in religion. Because I believe religion is the double cross. Because I've been double crossed by three religions. So I think I can safely say that maybe there's something wrong with religion. Every temple that's put up may not be a holy one, so watch out." You see, Ja Rule's mother was a Jehovah, had been disfellowshipped by the Jehovah Witness. And this is what he had to say about the shipping of his mom from the Jehovah Witness. He said, "Now when you are disfellowshipped," "nobody is allowed to talk to you, not even your family." And my mom was really hurt by that. You know, I kind of get cold feelings toward religion. And because I said I don't think God would want to separate families. And then there's no birthdays, no Thanksgiving, and no Christmas. My religion's so crazy and so strange and weird," I'm quoting. "And so I started going to church with my friend. And his was basically the same, not much different. Then I embraced the Muslims. And we followed the teachings of Muslims, but they preach hate to the white man. So I'm thinking maybe religion is the problem." That's one person's example of faith. Now another, who felt a little more positive, Jeff Gordon, one of NASCAR's most successful drivers, drives number 24, a blue Chevrolet. He's earned more than $39 million driving that Chevrolet. Before he gets in his car to drive, he attends Pastor Max Helton's pre-race chapel services. You see, Pastor Helton has an outreach called Motor Racing Outreach. And he always goes to service before he gets in the car. He feels so good about his faith that whenever he gets to ride, beginning to ride, his wife will tape a Bible verse on the steering wheel of his car. So if you ever watch NASCAR and you see Jeff Gordon, know that he has scriptures with him. One time his wife would tape 1 Corinthians 15:57 on his car. And it says, "Thanks be to God who gives the victory." Every now and then, Gordon will look down at the steering wheel, say a little prayer, and keep on racing. Two experiences of faith, one not so good, the other good. But what would you think about faith in the same town where Jesus grew up? You know it must have been good. If Jesus lived there, it had to be good faith in that town. I want to turn your attentions to the book of Mark, the 6th chapter. If you have your Bibles, And look at verses 1 through 6. This is Jesus' town. And in fact, on the way to his town, if you'll read some of the prior chapters to Mark 6, you'll find out that Jesus had a call that he would go and raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. And even as he was going to do that, the Bible says that he encountered a woman that had been sick for many years, and that she just reached out to touch just the hem of his clothes, and she was healed. Now that's power. And so now you know Jesus now is moving in Mark 6. He is going home. He is going to his own people. He's going to his own church. He's going to Fallbrook. You know things are happening there. You know the faith is good there. Jesus goes home. And the Bible says something very unique. You'd think faith would be good at Jesus' home. Verse 4 of chapter 6, I'll just read. It says, "But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.'" And verse 5, "Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and he healed them. And he marveled because of their," what, everybody? Yeah, did you see that? There's only one other place in the scripture where Jesus marvels, and it is at the faith of the centurion. But here he's marveling at the unbelief of his own people in his own town. Striking passage of scripture. You've seen that before and you've heard it before, but I mean, just to take a look at it again just absolutely blows you away. He marveled at the unbelief of his people. He could do no mighty works there. He wanted to do it, but he couldn't. His own town, his own church, his own brothers and sisters, his own school, his own teachers couldn't help him. He wanted to, but he couldn't. Why? Because of their unbelief, the Bible says. What a message. Pathfinders, what is faith? Well, it's belief, but it's more. Some would say that it's belief and trust. And some would even take it a step further and say it's belief, trust, and obedience. Because if you don't actually follow through and do something about it, do you really believe it? In this instance, when Jesus went home with his own brothers and sisters at Fallbrook, we know he's all powerful. But in this instance, the omnipotence of God conditioned itself. Unique. He could not do a mighty work. One of the reasons is the conditions which brings faith in connection with salvation, there is a prerequisite that we all must bring. And this is the reason why Jesus could not do any mighty works. For the Bible says, "He that believes," who has faith and trust, "shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be condemned. According to your faith be it unto you." Think of faith and belief as a door. And you can't enter that door if it's closed. And Jesus knocked on the door of Nazareth, and they did not open it. Jesus could not do anything in his own hometown. I believe that it has implications for you pathfinders today. I'm embarrassed to say that 2,000 years after the cross of Christ, Christianity, to many people like Ja Rule, is still feeble. Why? Because we hinder Jesus by reason of our unbelief. And I'd venture to say, Pathfinders, that if you would today visit some other churches of other denominations, you would be embarrassed. We like to get on other churches. Well, we would be embarrassed because we would find other young people that have what we don't have. Find that they have it on the ball when it comes to Christian faith and spirituality. And I have to say, Pathfinders, if it seems like I'm fussing at you, I'm not. I'm fussing at myself as a leader. Because if we have made any mistakes as leaders, it's this. Are you listening? Wake up. If you're asleep, wake up right now. Because it applies to adults too. We have put behavior before belief. And it gets us in trouble every time. Thank you, Ron, for saying amen. You can't put behavior before belief. And we even teach that way. And I apologize to you if I've done it. Jesus comes to his own hometown. He grew up there. He comes back to teach. You know what they tell him? And this is what happens many times. And Pathfinders, I want you to listen to this, because I think it happens more than we know. When we are familiar with a particular surrounding or person, after a while, we start tuning them out. And we don't pay any attention because we're used to it. And in fact, we get used to tuning them out. And so people in his town just says, isn't this Mary and Joseph's boy? Didn't he go to Loma, Jerusalem? But being familiar with an individual can blind most people to greatness. And in fact, it's possible to live so near a person that we can't see them or hear them. And I believe the longer we are in church and the call of God is made and we reject it, the easier it becomes for us to reject it over and over. And we see it all the time. I run into adults that have been in the church for 20 and 30 years and don't believe. It's an embarrassment. I wish I could be a part of God and see how he looks at that. I think it's because we are on familiar grounds and we stop listening to the voice of God. Pathfinders, behind the wonderful badges that you have on, behind the tents and the swimming and the drill teams and the boating and the biking and the hiking and the bugs, I want you to believe in Jesus. I want you to trust him enough to give him your life. I want you, Pathfinders, to believe. What did I say I want you to do, Pathfinders? What did I say, Pathfinders? Believe. That's exactly what I want you to do. Believe in Jesus. Do that first. This service won't mean anything if you don't believe in Jesus. Jesus wants, Pathfinders, to do a mighty work in you. If you want to just have fun, join the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. This is not the Boy Scouts and this is not the Girl Scouts. Jesus wants to do a mighty work in you. You got to know that. If you don't know that, you're going to easily get bored. We're not going to do enough for you. It may be just not the activity that you're interested in, but what I want you to do, and I know your leaders want you to do most of all, is to believe in Jesus. You see, we are in the believing God business. That's what this church is about. We're in the trusting God business. Our faith is not based on what, but on whom. Not just a set of doctrines or a creed. I know whom I have believed, not in what I have believed. The Lord has something for you to do, Pathfinders. Listen to this story. You got to listen carefully or you won't understand why it's even here. But the Lord wants you to do something in your life. He wants to do a mighty work in your life. So he wants you to believe. Because he wants you to meet somebody and run into someone that you can do something special for. This is an unusual journey of faith as I close. This young man one day was sitting with his friend, Rabbi Shumli, on the Sabbath. In fact, they had a group of individuals around, and so they were told to pin their reflections on the Sabbath. And so I wondered, why in the world is Michael Jackson with this rabbi? But I found out that Michael Jackson's tutor was a Jewish woman by the name of Rose Fine. And so it was not unusual to find Michael Jackson at the rabbi's house on Friday, on Sabbath, for Sabbath dinner. Michael Jackson said that I was moved by the rabbi and his wife, and they're placing their hands on the heads of their children and blessing their children and asking that their children would grow up to be like Abraham and Sarah. And with that, Michael Jackson says that it led me to reminisce about my childhood, I'm quoting, and what the Sabbath meant to me growing up. Now, Michael Jackson now is talking about Sabbath as it relates to Sunday, because he did also grow up in a home of Jehovah's Witnesses. And this is what he says. He knew both. He says, Sundays were sacred for two reasons as I was growing up. They were both the day that I attended church and the day that I spent rehearsing the hardest. Listen to this. This seems against the idea of rest on the Sabbath. But it was the most sacred way I could spend my time developing the talents God gave me. The best way I can imagine to sow my thanks is to make the most of the gift that God gave me. Now, we know what the Sabbath day is. We know which day it is. Michael was betwixt and between, which is the Sabbath. The Lord, Pathfinders, is preparing you as you believe one day to meet someone to tell them what is true and what is right. But first, you got to believe. We need to stop telling people and then we don't believe. It always come back to bite you. You know what I found? The people who have done the most for the Lord in this world have been all sorts of people. Who would have ever thought Michael Jackson was even... I mean, if you listen to the news today, I'm not endorsing his negative background. I just want you to see how the Lord, in his own way, works on the hearts of people. People have done the most for the Lord in this world come from all sorts of background, all conditions, all intellectual abilities, all background, some scholars, some philosophers, some just average people. But there's one thing that they all have in common. They are people of intense faith and belief. And they succeed by being full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives them power. When Mother Teresa was passing through a crowd in Detroit, a woman remarked, "Her secret is that she is free to be nothing. Therefore, the Lord can use her for anything." Isn't that profound? And then at the last part of this text, "And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." The Bible is just nice. Jesus left his town because of their unbelief. My prayer is that we would never have Jesus leave the Fallbrook Church because of unbelief. Let's pray. Lord, we have to admit, we're honest enough to admit, that sometimes it's most difficult to believe at home. It's even more of a challenge to believe those who are close to us as they tell us things. When our parents tell us about spiritual things, sometimes it's hard to accept and embrace it. It's hard to accept it from our friends who sit right next to us as they tell us and ask us to believe. And even as we come to church and the voice becomes familiar, it's hard for us to accept and believe. But Lord, we're thankful for this one thing, that you came to your town, that you didn't abandon your town. And there were a few that you healed. There were always those there that believed. Pathfinders, I know you're getting ready to have a dedication, but I would be remiss as your pastor if I didn't ask you. I'm not asking all of you Pathfinders to lift your hand because I'm saying this. I don't do that. I'm thankful for Dexter. He said he wanted to be baptized. He says he believes. There might be some other Pathfinders out there. You've not made your decision for Jesus. That's the most important thing you can do today. Pathfinder, if there's a Pathfinder out there that has not made your decision for Jesus, I want you to do it today. Is there a Pathfinder like that that is not? Now, the Pathfinders, you've done that, you don't have to lift your hand one inch. I don't play that, all right? But if you haven't, and you want to, the angel wants to see your hand and record that in heaven today. Pathfinder, would you like to say yes to Jesus? Would you like to say, "Yes, Jesus, I believe in you"? He didn't ask you whether you want to go someplace or do you not do this. All he says is just believe. That's all. We make it so complicated as adults for you. Jesus just says, "Accept me." That's all. Is there a Pathfinder that's not said that would like to say that? Just lift your hand right now. Is there a pathfinder like that? If you don't mean it, don't do it. And you may have already made that decision. But if you haven't, would you pray about it and let God direct your heart? Because God wants to do a mighty work in you. He already has somebody out there famous that needs to know. And he wants to use you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the pathfinders. Thank you that they're coming here today to consecrate themselves to you. Lord, honor them. Bless them. Do a mighty work in them. Walk through this church right now. And then, Lord, maybe there's an adult that has not said yes to Jesus. How can we put so much pressure on our young people when we've not even done it? Is there a man, woman, boy, or girl here that's not said yes to Jesus? I mean, accept him personally. And you'd like to say yes to him? I know it's a lot of pressure when pastors ask that. But it's not much of a pastor that doesn't ask it periodically. We would not want... In the first service, you know what I read? In one of the writings of Ellen White, she says, Satan is the parent of unbelief. That's tough. We shouldn't speak one word of unbelief. Shouldn't even utter it. Is there a man, woman, boy, or girl that would say yes to Jesus for the first time? Lord, we thank you for this church. Lord, may we have a strong faith and trust and obedience in your word. Bless us now and fulfill your purpose in us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you want to know where I got that story about Michael Jackson and Ja Rule, you can go to BeliefNet, all right? And click on there and read some stories about people of their beliefs, all right? And click on BeliefNet. That's where I got it from.